Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
The gospel continues to go forward despite the opposition, despite the setbacks, despite discouragement, despite the sin. All of those forces that are so often working against the advancement of the gospel, by God's grace, it continues to advance. And that's why we're here today. We're here today because the gospel has advanced.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the book of Acts. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Acts, chapter 5, verses 17 through 42, in a message titled, The Unstoppable Good News of Jesus Christ. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
Then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, Go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the door. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, Look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then the captain went with officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this man's name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring his blood upon us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against the Lord. And they agreed with him. And when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus the Christ. All right, so what I want to do today is I want to just sort of highlight the verses that we read together, just looking at some different points. And what we have here as we come to the end of the fifth chapter, we're coming now to kind of the focus being taken off Jerusalem. And that's going to happen over the next few chapters. So we've been in Jerusalem. We've been focusing on the ministry and the advancement of the church in Jerusalem. But of course, as the book goes on, the whole point of the story is to talk about how the gospel beginning in Jerusalem went out from there to Judea, then to Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. So we're moving out from there. We'll be in Jerusalem still a little bit, but just kind of looking at the overall ministry is beginning to sort of fade here, and we'll be focusing on some different things as we go forward. But the point, in many ways, of the book of Acts itself, and one of the things that I want to emphasize as we make our way through it, is the unstoppable nature of the gospel. And so this is what we're going to highlight today, just to see how the gospel continues to go forward despite the opposition, despite the setbacks, despite discouragement, despite the sin, all of those forces that are so often working against the advancement of the gospel. By God's grace, it continues to advance. And that's why we're here today. We're here today because the gospel has advanced all the way to us today. But it advanced because of the faithfulness of God, and also because of the commitment of men and women. And so let's keep that in mind. And just as they were faithful men and women serving the Lord, preserving the gospel and passing it to the next generation, so we need to also be faithful men and women preserving the gospel and passing it to the next generation, so the work can carry on until the Lord returns. So let me just remind you that as we pick up here, this is the second time that the apostles have been arrested. Now, the first time, it seems that only Peter and John were arrested. Now it seems like all of the apostles were arrested, even though Peter is still the spokesman. Yet the word apostles seems to indicate that if not all of them, at least many of them were. And there would be those other 10 beside Peter and John at this point. So they've been arrested now, and we're going to look at the story and see what happens from this point. But the first thing I want you to note is that the opposition to them was what you might call state-sponsored opposition. These were powerful forces that were against them. It was the high priest and the sect of the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the really politically minded leaders at the time. The priests were from the Sadducees, but they were very much more power brokers than they were spiritual. They were not really spiritual at all. They were all about power. And so with these men, you have, in a sense, you have the religious establishment and the powers of the state combined together. So they had this, you know, significant authority to persecute, to prosecute, to oppose, and, you know, potentially to even stop the work from advancing. And remember, as I pointed out before, this is the same group of people that arrested Jesus, falsely tried and condemned him, and then had him crucified. And so these are the forces that are up against the mission at this point and the apostles. So all of that to say, nothing is new under the sun. And what I want us to see as we go through these different points today is that we can find parallels to this stuff all around us in the world today. It's not anything new, or it's not anything that's just relegated to ancient history when these kinds of things happened. This type of thing still happens. But despite the fact that there still is opposition and sometimes even state-sponsored opposition, despite that, the gospel continues to advance. And sometimes when we're faced with strong opposition, sometimes God actually divinely intervenes in the situation, as we see happen in the story here. So the apostles are taken and arrested. They're put in the prison, and notice what happens next. Verse 19 says, but at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out. So here we have divine intervention. God stepping in and overruling supernaturally. Please let's not forget that God still works supernaturally. You know, sometimes I think we make the mistake of we read about these kinds of things here in the biblical text, and we seem to automatically think like, oh yeah, you know, back then there were angels that did things and there were supernatural things and miracles and all of that. But all that happened way back then. But the truth of the matter is these kinds of things still happen today. And we should not be surprised by that. We certainly should not be unbelieving in regard to that. We should recognize that even today, God will divinely intervene in our circumstances at times. And especially if we are seeking to advance the gospel and we come up against opposition, we can expect at times divine intervention, supernatural things. Here these guys are, they're in jail, and an angel comes and releases them. And as we read over the verses there, you know, isn't it interesting that the high priest then, they gather to decide what they're going to do with the men. They have no idea that these guys have been released. They send the guards to get them and to bring them so they can try them. And the guards come back and say, well, we went there, the doors were locked and the guards were posted, but when we opened the cell, nobody was in it. So here we see it's obviously clearly a supernatural thing that has happened. And again, these kinds of things still happen. They happen today. And so let's not just relegate this to, well, you know, that's the way it used to work, but let's remember and recognize that God still works in these kinds of ways today. Now, as we look at the men themselves, the apostles here, we see that they were fearless men, and we see that they were faithful men. Now, when the angel releases them, what does he do? He says, go back to the temple and continue to preach all the words of this life. So basically what the angel is telling them to do is go back to where they arrested you and just resume what you were doing. Now, you know, maybe I would have said to the angel, you think we should lay low for a while? Or maybe we ought to find another spot where we could carry on the ministry. But the angel sends them right back to where they were, and they go right back and they resume what they were doing. And we see in these men at this point, we see that they were fearless and they were faithful. And let me say this, that for the gospel to continue to advance, it takes courageous people. It takes people who aren't afraid to be rejected. It takes people who aren't afraid to be ridiculed. It takes people who aren't afraid to even be prosecuted or persecuted. And we can't overlook that element. God has chosen to do the work of the kingdom through partnering with people. Now, obviously, God could do this completely independent of people. And, you know, it seems like the job will get done much more efficiently and much more quickly. But for whatever reason, God has chosen to use human beings in this great project of saving the world. And since God has chosen that it work that way, then obviously there have to be people that are going to cooperate, and there have to be people who are faithful and fearless, because inevitably we're going to come up against opposition. We're going to meet resistance at some point if we are seriously seeking to advance the cause of Christ. That's just a given. There's no escaping it. And so if we're fearful, if we're cowardly, then nothing's going to happen. Things aren't going to move forward. So we have to step out in faith, and we have to step out fearlessly and courageously. But we see that that is indeed what these men did. Now, as I said, we're looking at what was happening back in those days. But let's not forget that this has been pretty much the story of the church, not just in the very beginning, as recorded for us in the book of Acts, but on through the following history, up through the first few centuries of the church, and then just on and on and on throughout the long history of the church, right up to this very day. Let me quote to you from one writer. He said, "The devil has never given up the attempt to destroy the church by force. Under Nero, Christians were imprisoned and executed, including probably Paul and Peter. Domitian oppressed Christians." He was another Roman emperor. Who refused to pay him the divine honors he demanded. Under him, John was exiled to Patmos. Marcus Aurelius, believing that Christianity was dangerous and immoral, turned a blind eye to severe local outbreaks of mob violence. Then in the third century, what had so far been sporadic became systematic. Under Decius, thousands died, including Fabian, Bishop of Rome, for refusing to sacrifice to the imperial name. The last persecuting emperor before the conversion of Constantine was Diocletian. He issued 4 edicts, which were intended to stamp out Christianity altogether. He ordered churches to be burned, scriptures to be confiscated, clergy to be tortured, and Christian civil servants to be deprived of their citizenship, and if stubbornly unrepentant, executed. Still today, especially in some Marxist, Hindu, and Muslim countries, the church is often harassed. But we need not fear for its survival. Tertullian, addressing the rulers of the Roman Empire, cried out, "Kill us, torture us, condemn us, grind us to dust. The more you mow us down, the more we grow. The seed is the blood of Christians." So this is the story of the advancement of the gospel, and it's taken, as I said, courageous men in order for it to be advanced. Now, the next thing, the fourth thing I want us to notice is how, again, God raises up assistance. First, we see that he sends the angel to deliver them from the jail, but now we see that God raises up assistance from a completely unlikely source. And the assistance here comes in the form of this man, Gamaliel. Now, Gamaliel is part of the council. The council was divided into the two groups, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Sadducees were the liberal, political power brokers. The Pharisees were, in some senses, the opposite. They were power brokers as well, but they were conservative, and they were theologically conservative. And so here's this man, Gamaliel, and as the Sadducees are enraged, as Peter once again reminds them that the blood of this man, Jesus Christ, is upon your heads, they're incensed, and it says that they were furious and they sought to kill them. But then Gamaliel comes with the voice of reason and basically says, no, you don't want to do that. Now, Gamaliel, just so we're a little bit familiar with who he is, he was one of the great religious leaders of the day. He was one of the great rabbis. He was the grandson of a very famous rabbi named Hillel. Now, at the time of Jesus, so during the time of the Gospels, there were two prevailing views in the land of Israel when it came to understanding the faith, and they were the views of Shammai and Hillel. And Shammai was the more strict and conservative one. Hillel was the more lenient one, so his view was the more popular one. So Hillel is the extremely popular rabbi. He's dead by now, but his teaching is what has prevailed amongst the Jews, and Gamaliel is his grandson, and he's carrying on in the tradition of Hillel. Now, not only that, but Gamaliel was also the teacher of Saul of Tarsus. And Saul of Tarsus, of course, is Paul the Apostle. But before Paul became the Apostle, remember, he was Saul of Tarsus, and he tells us that he was brought up in Jerusalem at the feet of Gamaliel. So at the time that this incident occurs, Saul is still a student of Gamaliel, because Saul's conversion is yet in the future. We haven't come to that in the story yet. But this man, Gamaliel, was known for his moderation, and he was known for his wisdom. So he speaks a word of advice and basically tells the Sadducees not to follow through with putting these guys to death, but just to know that if this movement was of men, it would fizzle out. But if it was of God, he said, you don't want to be fighting against God if this is of God. Now, the main point that I want to make here and drawing your attention to this is how there are times when God will bring even the most unlikely people alongside what he's doing to help the advancement of it. And this has happened over and over again, where you see in places, you see, like, on the one hand, you've got the, you know, the religious leaders opposing the work, but then you see this other one who's coming alongside and saying, hey, now wait a second, you know, we need to be careful here. And he distracts them from their intended purpose of killing them. And yet you would have thought that Gamaliel would not have had advice opposing their plan, but you thought that he probably would have been in agreement with them. And so even today, we find these kinds of things happening. You know, I've heard stories of ministry that's gone on in really, really difficult places, like, say, in slums in some of the cities of South America. In many of those slums, like in Brazil, for example, those slums, which house hundreds of thousands of people, are usually run and operated by gangsters.
For the month of November, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled Answers to Prayer. Be inspired by the joy of answered prayer from the narratives of George Mueller. Read about God's work of conversion, revival, and provision, and how the same God can answer your prayers today. The book Answers to Prayer by George Mueller is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 0208-466-5365 or visit us online at brianbrodersen.uk, where you can find more resources, or sign up for Pastor Brian's free weekly email devotional. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you by dialing 0208-466-5365 or by writing us at Back to Basics Radio, P.O. Box 647, Bromley, Kent, BR14WQ. But before we conclude today's program, here's Pastor Brian with a personal invitation to Israel.
Hi, this is Pastor Brian, and I want to talk to you about our trip to Israel that's coming up in May of 2019. That'll be May the 5th through the 18th. It's a 14-day trip. And, you know, you just can't beat going to Israel. As a matter of fact, I just returned from Israel, so I'm pretty excited about the trip that's coming up. And we would love to have you join us. On the trip, we start off, we go into the city of Tel Aviv, and we just relax for a day and get our bearings about us. And then we launch out into the tour. Our first stop is the city of Joppa, where Jonah left from and where Peter was there and got the message to come to Caesarea so he could go to the house of Cornelius. And that's where we start. And then we head to the Sea of Galilee, and we're there for a number of days visiting all the sites around the Sea of Galilee where Jesus ministered and many of the other events that happened in that region, Old Testament stories. And then we head to the area of the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea, beautiful desert place, and we spend a couple of nights there. It's relaxing, it's wonderful, a couple of nice biblical sites in the area. And then we wrap everything up. The final part of our tour is Jerusalem itself, and we walk the city of Jerusalem. We go to all the pertinent sites, and the whole tour, everything wraps up with communion at the Garden Tomb. And so I'm excited about the trip that's coming up, and We would love to have you be part of this trip. Many, many people have gone with us, and many are already signed up, but we do have some more spaces, and so we'd love to have you join us. And you can find out all the information about the trip at israel.cccm.com. So pray about it, and love to have you join us for Israel 2019, May the 5th through the 18th, israel.cccm.com. God bless you.
We'll continue next time with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the book of Acts. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.